know we not, you are a temple. Know we not, you are a temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I know, yes, I know, yes, I know I am a temple. I know, yes, I know, yes, I know I am a temple. I am a temple, yes I know, yes I am the temple of the Lord. Walking up the seven steps unto perfection. Walking up the seven steps unto perfection. Walking up the seven steps unto perfection. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Let's pray, saints. Father, thank you, Lord, for grace. Thank you for bringing us to your house once again. Thank you for keeping us. Lord, people having come from the north and south and east and west, may you bless them richly, Lord, we pray. And Father, everyone that's connected with us this day, Pastor Ukeni, the saints across the water, Lord, we do pray your blessing upon them. Your hand upon him, Lord, as he had wait upon thee before he delivers the word unto us upon this day. And Lord, Father, we've come into this place. Lord, we've come to commune with you. We just want to sit at your table, Lord. We just want you to break unto us the bread. Father, help us remove every obstacle in our thoughts, in our minds, every distraction, every other attraction, Lord. Lord, we long to see Jesus. That's who we long to see upon this day. We've come in your name, Lord. We've come together around the table. We've come to seek thine face. Bless our fellowship. Bless our Sunday school. Bless the worship. Bless the ministry of the word. Be glorified, we pray. As Lord, we commit all into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you. Thank you, Brother George, Brother Jess. God bless, saints. Let's open our Bibles as we do greet you in Jesus' name. Greetings to the saints across in Wolverhampton as well. Looking forward to the word today. I'm sure that you are as well. Let's just have a short Sunday school lesson just to finish off something we started last Sunday, but it's a separate topic in itself. Let's open to Ephesians chapter 3. I think it's the same scripture we read last week, but Ephesians 3 verse 8 and 9. Just a simple thought. Ephesians 3 verse 8 and 9. This is the Apostle Paul. Paul realizing his commission, what was he supposed to do? Verse 8, he says, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Friends, that's quite a thought, the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, there's these riches in Christ. Imagine the riches that we could search out. Even as our brother comes to minister us today, we're wanting the Lord to admit us into that place, that you might go deeper in the fellowship of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9, and to make all men see. This is what he desired. He wanted to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless his word, saints. Let's just have a look at that thought. I know we did put the title last week and never got onto it very well. But the fellowship of the mystery, if I could put my slides, bro, it would be a good thing. So we wanted to look at this, the fellowship of the mystery. What are we here today for? What are our gatherings for? You know, when we gather, wherever we are, from house to house, from place to place, whatever that it is the fellowship of the mystery. Let's just have a little bit of a fellowship around the fellowship of the mystery. So we're speaking about this, if it fits on there, the fellowship of the mystery. This is what Paul was desiring to make known. This was his calling. This was his ministry. Because Paul himself had been admitted into a fellowship. You know, he met Christ on the Damascus Road and he had revelation given to him. And then straight away he went 3 years into the wilderness, and he took his Old Testament with him, took the scrolls with him, and it was just him and Christ in communion And the Lord admitted him into the fellowship of the mystery. All these different things. No, what God's thoughts were for that day, the coming in of the Gentiles. And Paul, when he'd go back in the Old Testament and look at all the shadows and types, the sheep and the offerings of bullocks and all that, he now started to understand the mysteries. Now started to understand that, my, this is all speaking of Christ. This speaking of redemption. This is speaking of our fellowship with him in this mystery. And Paul was admitted. Something was unveiled to him, continued to be unveiled to him, until he had such a fellowship himself with Christ around this mystery that had been given to him. Though it was simple, wasn't complicated, but it was a mystery. It was something that had to be made known. The prophet says a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit. Otherwise, it remains a mystery. So he really got into communing with the Lord himself when he got himself shut in the closet and he had the fellowship of the mystery. And now Paul came from there, and having been given this great stewardship now, this which had been delivered to him, he realized, but oh my, if only others could be admitted into the same fellowship that I'm in. If only others could understand and come into this place. And he says, that's what I'm desiring, he says in verse 9, to make all men see. What is the fellowship of the mystery? And friends, I long for that with our children, don't you? If they could understand the fellowship of the mystery, if they could really understand what it is to know Jesus in a personal and in a real way. But that needs people to be admitted into something. It needs people to want to come into something that you want to understand. But why does Brother Wilmore get so excited about the things of the Lord? Why does Brother Ellie? Why does Sister so-and-so? Now, when people come and give a testimony, why are they so enthused giving a testimony? Unless you yourself get also into the fellowship of that mystery, you'll never understand what those things are about. Ah, but friends, it's a blessed thing, because when you start to fellowship with the mystery of Christ, Jesus himself in your age, in your time, you can now go back and see Paul and say, I know in my measure what Paul was speaking about. You can go back and see Peter, how Peter had fellowship in the mystery, even in a prison cell. Yeah, and you can say, wow, you can see John on Patmos and say, wow, the conditions weren't easy, but I understand what it is in that kind of a time. He had fellowship, a mystery. Christ revealed and opened up things to him and took him into another dimension, took him into the realm of the Spirit, and he had fellowship in the mystery. And friends, what are we fellowshipping around? The unsearchable riches of Christ. Who is Jesus? What has he done for us? What are we in Christ? That is the fellowship of the mystery that we need to know. I mean, there's nothing greater than knowing about Jesus. Yeah, and the greatest Jesus you can know is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's wonderful to read about him, Jesus of the past. Now, we sing that song, yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same, as we sing about, still he loves to heal the sick, and still he loves to... And you're going to find out that he's still the same Jesus today. And that is the fellowship of the mystery, is you can fellowship with Jesus just as real today as Paul did in his day. And that's what Paul was saying. He says, I want to admit you into the fellowship of this mystery. I want you to understand these unsearchable riches of Christ. And that would be quite a wonderful thing if the Lord would take us into that. How wonderful it is when somebody's been enriched. When somebody has entered into fellowship with the Lord and the Lord's given them something, maybe they come and give a testimony because they've been fellowshipping, admitted into the fellowship of a mystery. The Lord's done something to them, and they come and they just want all men also to say, if you can just enter into the fellowship of the mystery with me. And when somebody comes and there's the blessing of the Lord upon it, we also can enter into the fellowship of that mystery with them. When they come and bear record of what the Lord has done for us, when Brother Greg gives a poem or somebody gives a song or somebody gives a testimony, when there's a special, when the Lord's given somebody a song at the right season, like David getting his inspiration, the Lord giving him songs in the night. And then you can get in the Spirit as well, and you can enter into the fellowship of that mystery, and you receive such a blessing as well. You start also to partake of those unsearchable riches which they were fellowshipping in. Friends, this is what we speak about when you speak about fellowship. You know, we fellowship is not just two people sitting in a room speaking about who's the best football team in the United Kingdom. Now, that's another type of a fellowship. But real spiritual fellowship is the fellowship of the mystery. It's when I start speaking to you about what Christ has unveiled to me, about the riches of Christ that I've partaken of in my own little experience. And you start speaking about what Christ has unveiled to you, that fresh something, that fresh manner in your experience, we start entering into a place, friends, that real fellowship. That is what fellowship is. Look at this slide. Fellowship, we read this just when we're down, I think, in Limerick. Fellowship, which is koinonia. That's the Greek word fellowship. Koinonia is one of the great words of the gospel. So when you share the word fellowship, that word is koinonia. And the Bible Dictionary Lexicon says it's one of the great words of the gospel. It is the highest expression of a personal relationship. So when you get into personal relationship with somebody, you're not just sitting in a room, but you don't really know one another. But there's an unveiling. And you've got, and look what it continues on to say. It says, it is the experience of having something in common. That's what fellowship is. Amen. Why are we here today? Because we're fellowshipping around an experience of something we have in common. We know the power of the word. We know the power of the message of the hour. And because it's so precious to us, these unsearchable riches of Christ, it's brought us together in a fellowship. And anybody who's really been blessed and had partaken themselves of the riches of Christ in this age, they don't want to go somewhere else. They want to gather where people have had a similar common experience, because we're not just gathering. We don't ever want to just gather around a doctrine or a teaching, though those things are good. Doctrine and teaching points you to the experience, because you can know the letter of the word, and there's no fellowship really around that. But when you have the experience of it, you know, when you've entered into the fellowship of the mystery of something, you've now fellowshipped with it. You know that, hey, I know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Like that song, you know, I know my Redeemer lives. How do you know that he lives? Because I spoke to him this morning. You know, that's the kind of experience that you want. I know Jesus is real, friends, because he fellowshipped with me this week and I fellowshipped with him. He spoke to my soul. He fed my soul. He revealed himself to me. When I got in prayer, I got into the fellowship of the mystery. I wish I could go deep. I wish I could go further. But friends, I want to say, this last week, I've had a fellowship with him. And if you've had a fellowship with him, that's the basis of us fellowshipping one with another. But how difficult it is when you haven't fellowshipped with him. Or if I haven't, or you meet somebody that hasn't been admitted into the fellowship of the mystery of Christ. It's not easy to fellowship with them. You know, they want to speak about other things, but that's not the thing that really blesses your heart or blesses your soul. But when you meet somebody who's had a fresh experience and you've had a fresh experience, oh, friends, put two people like that together, that is fellowship. That's the kind of fellowship we desire, friends. That's what it says, fellowship, koinonia, the experience of having something in common. The prophet says, if the Pentecostals could just have kept it as an experience, but instead they made it a white horse and a white cloud and they argued with each other. They had an experience, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the restoration of the gifts. They should have admitted people into the fellowship of that mystery. Just say, we've got something so wonderful here. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and see what the Lord is doing for us. He says, but instead they became dogmatic about it and they started arguing with each other. And we have more than you. And they lost the experience of it. It was no longer fellowship around a mystery. It had lost that something that it had in the beginning. But he says, if they could have kept it as an experience. Oh, friends, that's what you always want inside of your life. You don't want to lose your experience. You want to feed that experience. Because that's where your fellowship comes from. You know, you want a fellowship with the experience. So it also means, communion, where we get our word communion as well. To have fellowship is to have communion. Communion comes from common union. You know, you're united around something in common. Friends, we've got the most powerful thing to unite ourselves around. There's no reason we should ever be divided. We have Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have the unsearchable riches of Christ for us to unite ourselves around. Friends, and really only when you start losing the experience of it now and you get away from the fire now, and you've just got the light, but you don't have the heat of the experience anymore. That's when we start arguing about all the secondary points of things that we believe in common. But when the experience of Jesus is real to you, friends, all you want is other people to be admitted to that same experience. You don't become an exclusive sort of a person. Paul says, I want that all men should know. This grace that is given unto me, I wish all people could experience this grace, which is the fellowship of the mystery. That's what he wanted. And the final one, fellowship means Bible fellowship, intimate fellowship. Intimate fellowship. Don't you love intimate fellowship? Now there's two areas of intimate fellowship. Let's look. I'm just going to take a few scriptures which take this word koinonia, fellowship, in the Bible, just to show how Paul taught about this. Look what he says. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, he says, God is faithful, yeah, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So you are called unto the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is what you are called unto, friends. We're not called unto anything else. You are called to the fellowship of Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to have communion with you. He wants to bring you into an intimacy with himself. And the greatest way you can bear record of him is you have an intimacy with him yourself. Because then it's so much easier for people to be admitted into the same fellowship, because you've got the reality. You're not speaking like, brother, I was speaking to Brother Christian this week, and he says, brother, I'm tired of the painted fire, you know. You're not speaking about there was a fire back there, but no. You've had fellowship and communion with him. And Paul says, we are called unto this. This is what the Lord is calling us unto. And when it's a call, what is a call? A call is the deep calling to the deep. Amen. He desires intimate fellowship with you. Jesus wants to be real to you. He wants to commune with you. And there's a deep longing in every single soul for the same thing. That's the calling that you feel. Deep calleth unto deep. Yeah, at the noise of thy water spouts. There's a deep inside of you. There's something that is not satisfied in this life as a believer if you're not having real intimate fellowship with Jesus. Amen. And most of the spiritual maladies we find, temptations and all the problems that we have inside of our lives, are due to one thing. We're not having intimate communion with him. Because when you're not having intimate communion with him, it's not that easy to have intimate communion with one another. Now, you won't understand. If I see Brother Greg, he's really in the spirit, he's really sweet in his experience, and me, I'm a little bit crusty and a little bit hard, you know? And then I get in fellowship with him, and he's speaking about the sweetness of Christ, speaking about the sweetness of prayer, speaking about the riches of what the Lord had spoken to him in his word in simplicity. Friends, it's quite easy for me to be grieved as, I don't want to hang around with this guy, because it convicts you, friends. But the best thing to do is rather submit yourself. Because the Lord, through his experiences, is opening a door for you. There's a deep calling you to say, you also can come into fellowship with this brother. Maybe you can be admitted into the mystery of the fellowship that he's having with Christ. Friends, that's what you need. So much of the spiritual disease in the body of Christ is simply an unfulfilled desire for fellowship with him. Because you remember the prophet in El Shaddai, when he speaks of El Shaddai, and he speaks of the baby, and it's not having intimate fellowship with the mother. It's not nursing now the strength and the life-giving resources, the milk from its mother's breast. And now it's all fretting, and it can't be satisfied in that. All it needs is fellowship again. And that's what the Lord says to Abraham. He says, Abraham, don't worry about a thing. You may be getting old, your body, naturally speaking, you may not have much hope of bringing forth, but I've given you a promise. And while you're waiting for the fulfillment of the promise, come and commune with me. Amen. Come and nurse strength from me. I am El Shaddai. I am the breasted God. I am the strength giver. Just nurse strength from me, like the baby when it starts to nurse strength from the mother's breast. It goes to sleep after a while. Now it's satisfied. And the Lord is saying, Abraham, just be satisfied while you wait for the promise. Just come. I'll admit you into this fellowship of the mystery. While you're waiting for the fulfillment, just be satisfied by nursing from my breast. Oh, friends, is that not what we need? That's what we need. We don't need a new this and a new that. We just need intimate fellowship with him. We just need to get deeper into these unsearchable riches of Christ. What is the message of the hour? Amen. The message of the hour is the unveiling of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. What are the seals? The prophets are the seals. They unveiling Christ in your day, in your age. Amen. Oh, friends, there's so much for us to fellowship about. And he wants to admit us into that intimate fellowship, that communion with himself, first of all. So when you first have communion with him, in the closet. That's the first type of fellowship that you need. But also we need fellowship one with another. Amen. Because so many times we need God with skin on. Amen. That's what we need, friends. Sometimes you're down, you're David, you don't understand what's happening. Why is King Saul rejecting me the way that he is? Why I am trying to be a faithful young man, but why is this man trying to kill me and speaking evil of me? Then the Lord sends him Jonathan now. Amen. And Jonathan and him have fellowship around the mystery. And Jonathan says, I know that you'll be king. Yeah. And strengthens him in his kingdom and strengthens him in his heart. That's what we need, friends. You need fellowship with him, and then we need fellowship with one another. Amen. And if, like we said last week, if you find you weak and sickly in your experience, many times that you're failing to discern the body of the Lord. Amen. You're failing to understand where El Shaddai is now. You're failing to understand where you can nurse strength from his breast. Yes, this is the, when you get in your closet, you're nursing strength from El Shaddai. But when you get in fellowship with your brethren, and the glory comes and settles over your fellowship, like when Jesus was there in the upper room with his disciples, and he said, with great desire, have I desired to eat this Passover with you? He wanted to admit them into a mystery. He was already in it. He was in the spirit of it. He says, this is my body, which is going to be broken for you. This is my blood that's going to be shed for you. I want you to be partaking of this mystery as well. Take, eat all of it. Amen. And as they sat around the table, their friends, imagine the atmosphere that was there. Hallelujah. Oh, friends, that's, and the prophet says communion gives you strength for the journey. Amen. Yeah, communion was the final thing Jesus wanted before he went to the great battle in Gethsemane. Amen. He wanted fellowship with his brethren. He wanted that communion together, to be shut in together around the table in an intimacy with, you know, around the mystery now, around, you know, the mind of God and the purposes of God. And, oh, friends, that's a powerful thing. And that is really where you get your strength from. What else does Paul say? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion, same word, fellowship, of the Holy Ghost be with you. Amen. Oh, friends, what is your fellowship with the Holy Ghost like? Amen. Friends, the Holy Ghost wants intimate fellowship with us, friends. We sing this song, I just want to be where you are. I don't want to worship from afar. No, this isn't the old covenant when you're told, come no closer. No, this isn't where there's boundaries put around the mountain. Anybody goes up the mountain is put to death. In this one, the veil is rent. And here comes the cherubim before that kept you back from the fullness of the mystery of the tree of. Now the cherubim come to usher you right the way to the fullness of the tree of life, which is the fellowship of the mystery. Oh, friends, that's really the intimate fellowship of the Holy Ghost. That is your inheritance and your right as a believer every single day. And this fellowship with the Holy Ghost is independent of time, independent of condition, independent of circumstances. You might be on Patmos, surrounded by hardened criminals and there's scorpions and rocks and thieves, yeah? And you can have koinonia, intimate fellowship with Christ through the Spirit of Christ. My, and imagine all the riches that John was fellowshipping around on Patmos. The sevenfold glory of his personage. That is the unsearchable riches of Christ. While he's on Patmos, friends, for a believer, there's nothing can stop a believer getting into the spirit when their soul is seeking for fellowship. You don't need to be in a certain place. You don't need to be a certain condition. You can be lying sick on your bed and have the intimate fellowship of the Holy Ghost. That's what he's wanting. Paul says that. That's what I'm desiring for you, he says. The communion of the Holy Ghost, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Friends, I really wish that our young ones would understand and enter into that mystery and taste and see the sweetness of that. If you knew what the fellowship of the Holy Ghost really is like, you'd spend far more time in fellowship with Him. But this world will allure you. This world will pull you out. This world will try to keep you on the outskirts of the mystery. But the real riches and the glory is within the veil. When you get within the veil now, that's where you really have the fellowship. And then Paul says the scripture we've just read, to make known all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Oh, friends, that's what Paul wanted. He says, oh, there's such a mystery. Christ has revealed Himself to me. There's so many things that He's... I was given a thorn, a messenger of the devil to afflict me because of the abundance of the revelation. Lest I got exalted because of all the revelation that I was given. He said, but saints, I just wish one thing. If you could just enter into the mystery. If the Lord could help me to minister you an entrance into the mystery, the fellowship of the mystery that I'm speaking about. Amen. Oh, friends, that fellowship, there's a powerful thing. And that fellowship, like I say, is with Him, and that fellowship is with one another. Amen. When two believers are together, when you have a look at the tabernacle, as we get to a close, this fellowship of the mystery, there's some people just live out there in the outer courts, or they live just out there in the camp. You know, they associate with the message of the hour, but they know nothing of the fellowship of the mystery. And then there's a deep inside of yourself. You say, but I really want to know what these people are talking about. So you come within the tabernacle itself, and you come to the brazen altar. You confess your sins. You put everything under the blood. You're justified now. But you've entered a portion into the fellowship of the mystery. But there's a deeper place. You can now come within the sanctuary itself, walking in the light of the candlesticks. Friends, that is a powerful thing. But that fellowship, that light of the candlesticks, taking you somewhere. Keep walking in the light of the candlestick, and you're going to break into the real fellowship of the mystery, which is within the veil. Oh, friends, where the glory, you know, I've crossed the riven veil where the glory never fails. I'm living in the presence of the King. And the prophet says, fellowship is two fellows in a ship. I'll take it even further. Fellowship is two fellows within the veil. You get two people living within the veil, fellowshipping with one another. That is a taste of heaven. That is a taste of glory divine. When your brother, your sister has been in the veil, and you go and fellowship with them, you can partake of the tree of life. Yeah, you can partake because they've been in the fellowship of the mystery. You can eat of the hidden manna they've been experiencing themselves. They, through fellowship, you can be admitted into the same fellowship of the mystery. And you'll leave that place and you'll be saying, but my, I want to know Him more. I'm thirsty inside of my soul. When you've been fellowshipping with someone who's really been in prayer, and they speak of the glories they've experienced in prayer and the testimonies, it stirs you up inside of your soul to say, but Lord, won't you help me to be admitted deeper into the fellowship of the mystery of prayer? Oh, friends, that's why testimonies, I say, are so powerful. That's why your own fresh little testimony, you think it's little, but it can admit other people in. It can stir up the deep inside of somebody themselves to say, I want to go deeper in the fellowship of the mystery. I'll just speak of one as we finish off for the last 2 minutes. What about Sister Hattie Wright? You know, the prophet had been out in the wilderness and the Lord admitted him into the fellowship of a mystery. He didn't understand how a person could speak to a mountain and that mountain could be removed. But he himself, while he was spending time with the Lord, fellowshipping, communing with the Lord unveiled and admitted him into the fellowship of that mystery. Yeah, that mystery of redemption that he couldn't see. How can this apply? Then the Lord unveiled him. Then he said, I see it. And then he experienced it. Now he came to Sister Hattie's right, to the George Wright's house. And he's had this fresh experience. And now he's sitting just around the table and he starts fellowshipping about that mystery. And most of the people there didn't get into the fellowship of the mystery. But Sister Hattie did. While the prophet was speaking of that testimony, she herself was being ministered with into that the mystery as well. And when he said, just as much as God gave Abraham, that ram, when he didn't have one, he's still Jehovah Jireh today. She was so much ministered to that place. She said, that's nothing but the truth. Amen. And then the Lord admitted her into the fellowship of the mystery. And says, now what do you, whatever you say, it shall be done. Tell me what, and by this gift I'll speak and it shall be given unto you. Amen. Friends, there's power in fellowship. When somebody's got something which they've experienced or received from the Lord, and you enter that fellowship the right way, you can end up in your own experience with exactly the same fellowship of the ministry before the end of that fellowship. That is the power of it. Friends, fellowship is a powerful thing. When we understand who we're fellowshipping with, Paul says our fellowship is with the Holy Ghost. Our fellowship is with Christ. But friends, we need intimate fellowship with one another. The prophet says, what do we love is the Christ in one another. When we're fellowshipping, when you're shut in around the table, spiritually speaking, you're fellowshipping with the Christ in your brother, the Christ in your sister. That can do great things inside of your own experience. May the Lord admit us deeper into the fellowship of this mystery. Let's pray. Father, we look to you because that is our desire. Father, even as our brother would come to lead us in songs now, Lord, these songs were written by people that had been admitted into the fellowship of the mystery. And Lord, you revealed your glory to them. And Father, in the gift that was in them, it was expressed in song. And Lord, if we get into the spirit of these songs, it can also admit us deeper into the fellowship of the mystery. And our brother Alex, when he'd come and stand before us, Lord, to minister to us upon this day, oh, Father, you've taken him within the veil. And Father, you've admitted him into the fellowship of the mystery that you desire to break unto us upon this day. Help us, Lord, to get in the spirit. Help us to quietly wait upon thee in simplicity now to prepare our hearts. And Lord, we'll be so disappointed if we leave this place and we individually haven't entered into the fellowship of the mystery as well, Lord. So, Father, may you overshadow us, Lord. Father, may it be as it was in the upper room when you took the bread and you took the cup and you had such a fellowship with your disciples. Help us to be shut in with you. How we think, Lord, of Mount Transfiguration when you had such a fellowship with Moses and Elijah speaking about the things of your day. Oh, Lord, won't you shut us in with thee upon this day. Bless the remainder of the service, we pray. Bless your people. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother George, let's give over to you, brother.